Welcome to the Lighthouse Family Worship Center. We are so excited that you joined us today. The following has been made possible by the friends and partners of Light of Truth Ministries.
That's what we say, right? Well, let me tell you, I hope you're not a thief and you ain't on no cross. So you might want to think about that a little bit. Most Pentecostal folks, and I just want to say this, it's been in my heart as I've been praying for the last several days. I pray a litany of things, and you know, sometimes I ask the Lord, God, am I that guy that you said, Jesus, that I think you're hearing me because of all the words I say, because I say a lot of words, and I don't think I am, but if I am, I want him to tell me. But one of the things that I pray about is I pray for our partners, and here are the people that I call partners. If you pray for us, I pray for you. If you work anywhere in what this is, and it's food bank, nurseries, teaching, college, I mean, it's just a long praise team. There's so much work. It's amazing. When you look at a group this size and what takes place, it's astonishing. If you work, I count you a partner. Volunteering, working, a salary, staff, I count you a partner. If you give financially, I count you a partner. If you are contributing to this house and the ministry, I count you a partner. And every day I pray a couple of things about partners. I pray, God, by the end of the year, we have 10 times more partners than we have right now. And I actually say at least, because I don't want to just put a number out there. I want to say, I want a big number, but I'm not limiting you to that number, God. You can do more if you want to. And then I also pray, increase our partners, Lord. Increase them in you, Father. Increase them in the knowledge of you, in the wisdom of you, in the presence of you. Increase our partners, God, in Jesus' name. I pray that over you almost every single day. And so I don't want you to think that I'm hard on Pentecostal folks, but I'm more familiar with Pentecostal folks than I am any other folk, because I spent 14 years in the Methodist church, and now I'm 30 years in the Pentecostal church, and so I know twice as much about Pentecostals as I do Methodists, and I can tell you, most Pentecostal folks are what people in religious circles would define as fundamentalists. Most Pentecostal people are fundamentalists. One time, Kathy was in an elevator with either Episcopal or Presbyterian priest. I can't remember which one it was. And he was going off on some weird tangent. And she said, I believe the Bible. And he said, oh, you're one of those fundamentalists. And she come to me and she said, what is a fundamentalist? I said, it just means that you believe the Bible. You believe the Bible is the Word of God. You believe it is true. You believe the best way to interpret Scripture is literally whenever possible. Now, most people, if I were to ask you, you would say, yes, I believe that the Bible should be interpreted literally everywhere except water baptism. Because there's not a lot of people in Pentecostal circles. I've had so many Pentecostal preachers here. If I've heard this once, I've heard this. I could not even tell you how many times and be able to say that I'm not lying. So I'm just going to say I've heard this often. They will tell you water baptism is an outward expression of an inward experience. Anybody ever heard that phrase? I want to say something, but I'm afraid that you won't be. I'm not afraid to say it. I'm just afraid you won't be able to hear it. So I'm just going to say it in a nice way. That's the biggest bunch of garbage I've ever heard in my life. If you're a fundamentalist, if you say you believe what the Bible says, then you cannot say that about water baptism. It's not possible. The thing is, somebody told you that, some Sunday school teacher, some preacher, and you just glossed over. And I do this study once a year, and every year it gets deeper. Water baptism is enormous. You should hold water baptism in the same esteem that you hold communion. So what does the Bible say? In Acts chapter 22. This is one of my favorites, but it's not my favorite because I can't even scratch the surface. There's so much more. I could preach a 6-week series on water baptism. That's how vast it is in Scripture. Acts chapter 22, verse 12. Then a certain Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good testimony with all the Jews who dwelt there, came to me, this is Paul speaking, and he stood and said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that same hour, I looked up at him. Then he said, the God of our fathers has chosen you that you should know his will and see the just one and hear the voice of his mouth, for you will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. Does that sound like an outward expression to an inward experience? Now, if we're going to be fundamentalists, if we're going to believe what the Bible says, that means when they put us in the water in the name of the Lord, our sins are washed away. Does the water do it? No, I don't think so. I think it's still the blood of Jesus. But I think this is a huge problem in the modern church. We have so relegated water baptism to such a back seat that people are not compelled as often as they should be, that they should go to the water immediately upon believing. And I think it's why so many new believers struggle like they struggle, is because they are missing part of the experience that is transformational in following Jesus. Why are you waiting? Go be baptized and wash your sins away. Do you want your sins gone? Now, there's a lot of people that take that last phrase and they put it in front of that phrase. But I can't find that to be true in the original writings. He said, hurry up, go ahead, get up, get after it, go get baptized, washing away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. There's a lot of people, and it's probably one of the places we get it, as they've translated that passage, they put calling on the name of the Lord. That's what washes away your sins. But that's not the way it was written. It's not the way Ananias said it. I can't swear to that. I wasn't there. I know I'm old, but I'm not that old. If we interpret it literally, I believe that's the best way to interpret it. And you read what your Bible says, and I will give it to you. Some translations reverse the order. I'm just not sure that that's accurate. Now, if water baptism, see, because I'm a stickler for Scripture, I'm a word guy. I am ate up with the word. The Bible says in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word is established. So if you can't find that someplace else, you can't even really preach it. I mean, you can share it, tell people it's there, but it's hard for you to get too dogmatic unless it's repeatable. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, there is more evidence. Then Peter said to them, repent, Acts 2 and 38, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. There we go, washing away the sins again through water baptism. We've got to get past all the foolishness that is so prevalent in our day. Whenever disciples believed in the days of the early church, you want to know why we're not seeing some of the same things that they saw in the early church? It's because we don't do things like they did in the early church. When people would believe in the days of the early church, they'd get baptized that day. That was normal. Standard operating procedure. I've had people that get saved and they'll come hunt me down. And I don't know why, because I'm convinced that I can baptize myself. Now, I know people will fight about that, and I'm not going to make a theology about that. But I believe I can, if I get saved, I believe I can go down to the creek and say, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and go in the water and come out. Now, you might drown doing that, because you're going to find out here in just a minute, there's even more. There's even more. Now, I don't know how you feel about this, but if we take the Bible literally, we are baptized for the remission of sins. And Peter said, you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Absolutely. Repentance is part of that. But what is repentance? It's the changing of the mind. It's the changing of the mind that you have to get out of the mindset that either you're so bad that God can't save you. There's a lot of people like that in the world. They think they've done so much that God can't save them. And I'm telling you, you're not that bad. If you were, you would not care. If you ever get to the place that you are twice dead, plucked up by the roots, spiritually dead, you'll never go to church. Somebody tries to tell you go to church, there'll be nothing but blasphemy come out of your mouth, and you will never step foot in a church. You won't have anything to do with it. Because you will despise God. You will hate God with a passion that I've never seen in anyone. And then there's people that think they're good enough that they're going to make heaven because they're good people. You're wrong again. There's only one way to make heaven. His name is Jesus. So it doesn't matter how bad you are, how good you are. You've got to change your mind. My only access to God is Jesus Christ, His suffering, His death, His resurrection. He is the incarnate Son of the living God. He is God made flesh. He dwelt among us. He lived a sinless, spotless, perfect life. And He went to the cross and took all my sin and all your sin, all my self-righteousness, all your self-righteousness, all the evil that was in you, all the evil that was in me. And God punished it on His Son Jesus. And you got to change your mind to believe that. And when you believe that, you should run to some water and say, I need you to baptize me. You don't need a preacher. Preachers are not necessary. Get your wife to baptize you. Get your husband to baptize you. Get your uncle, your aunt, your brother, your sister, your mama, your daddy. Get a friend. Say, I believed in Jesus. I need to be baptized. Well, why are you so ate up about it? Because the Bible tells me it will wash away my sins. Acts chapter 2, verse 41, it says, then those who gladly received his word were baptized. That day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. In Acts chapter 8, this is the story of Philip preaching the gospel. It says, and when they believed, Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. We got to get back to that. We just got to get back to that. I don't care. I'm totally good with just putting a horse trough right down here. It makes no difference to me. Water will dry on the carpet. I'm not worried about it. This is just carpet with glue. Ain't going to hurt nothing. Water ain't going to stain the carpet. We can run some tarps in and out of here. I do not care. I think water trough, horse trough, is a good idea. I won't even have to get in the water. And it'd be hard for you to drown, because here's what's going to start happening. When we start believing what the Bible says, we're going to start seeing some of the stuff that happens in the Bible. When we start doing what the Bible says, we're going to start experiencing some of these things that happen in the Bible. And when people got baptized, baby, there was some stuff that happened. In Matthew chapter 3, I'm going to read you some of it. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And are you coming to me? But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. So just how much righteousness have we not fulfilled when we refuse to be baptized in water? Then the Bible says John allowed him. John baptized him. Verse 16, here's where we're going to focus. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. We got precedent that when we obey God in baptism, that the heavens can open. Now, I don't know if you've ever watched it. And I know, and I'm going to say this because I believe it. I think if you get baptized one time, that's probably enough. I think it's probably enough. If you don't ever backslide, if you don't ever grow cold in your soul, and we're going to look at those things in just a little bit. But I think if you get saved and you're baptized and you live for the Lord your whole life, I think you're covered. But I'm like this. The more stuff I discover in the scriptures, you know, just the simplicity of a verse that I've shared with you dozens of times, more than likely. The Bible says the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God to those that believe. We look at that and we say, well, yeah, we believe one time, we're good. And I'm like, that's not what that says. And don't say one time believe. Every time I hear the gospel, every time I believe the gospel. See, I was saying it just a second ago, but I was believing it the whole time I was saying it, and the power of God comes on me every time I believe it. Hallelujah. We should hear the gospel often. It's good for the soul. And so I've been baptized. I couldn't even tell you how many times I've been baptized. I think I got baptized last year. It's either last year or year before. I'm thinking about getting baptized again this year. I like it. Because I see what's available in the scripture. I don't see God putting a number, a limitation on what takes place when we get baptized. I don't see God saying, guess you get baptized one time, that'd be good. You don't have to worry about it anymore. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say you have to be baptized over and over and over again, but it don't say you shouldn't or you couldn't or you can't. So I'm into it. I'm into it. I don't care who puts me down. I want you to bring me up because if the heavens are opened, you might have to. I want you to go home. Here's my assignment for you this evening. Instead of church, I want you to go home, relax. You know, if you watch football this afternoon, that's fine. You can go halftime between the games. Go to YouTube and bring up the Brownsville baptizing services. When they would baptize those believers in that revival, some of them would empty the baptistry. I mean, they would shake under the power of God. It was amazing. And they would let some of them testify. This one guy, he was ate up with hunting. And I still hunt, so I was not convicted. But this guy was, I mean, it was an addiction to him. It ruled his life. It was a god in his life. And when he got saved at Brownsville, and he's from the deep south. I mean, Utah, they make fun of the way I talk. You really had to have a sharp ear to understand this cat. And he talked about it. He said how God convicted him. And he said, I tromped all the way through the swamp. He said, I'm done with it. I ain't messing with it no more. Jesus is my life. Jesus is my all. And they put him down, and I'm telling you, the place shook under the power of God. And here's what you got to know, and I'm not discouraging you from watching online, because some of you can't do anything but. And you will be touched by you'll cry if you watch very many of them. The Spirit of the Lord will be so on those. And this revival ended in the 90s. But it was at least 100 times more powerful to be in the service. I've watched them and I cry and the Spirit of God comes on me. But I'm telling you, when we were there, I've never seen anything, felt anything like what God was doing down there. And the Lord said, what he's going to do in Barnsdall is going to make that pale in comparison. I know some of you can't come, and you should have been here this morning. I'm telling you, when that vision was read, I couldn't talk. I couldn't do anything but just sit right there and bawl. And I'm thinking God's touching me. And then Randy tries to talk and he can't talk. And I look at my wife and she can't talk. And the Spirit of God just came down confirming his word to us of what he wants us to do. You can come and be a part of it. Because what's happening here, you'll feel it more. And I know it's not all about feelings, but I'm real glad I serve a God I can feel. You'll feel it more if you're here than you will if you're there. I'm not putting it down. Some of you are in Florida. Some of you are in other parts of the world. I mean, it's no, you can't watch it anywhere else. But you know what? When God started moving in Asbury, people came from all over the world to be in those meetings. And when God starts doing what he said he's going to do in Barnesdall, there's going to be people come from all over the world to be in these meetings. You might as well come and get in on the ground floor. David Hogan, he likes to say, I've been born again, again. If I'm not mistaken, I heard him say one time, I may have this confused with another one of his testimonies, but I think he said he's been born again, again, at least seven times. And so every time you get born again, again, you might as well just jump in the water. Hallelujah. In Acts chapter 8, this is an Ethiopian eunuch and Philip. It says, now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. That's the deal. The believer has to be turned on. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. What hinders us from being baptized? Do you believe? Then be baptized. Acts chapter 10, verse 44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, and as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles too, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them. We live in a day where people are suggesting that people be baptized, but Peter commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Matthew 28, Jesus commands us to baptize. He said, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. See, that's the deal. This is not the great suggestion. This is the great commission. I've said it once, but I'm going to say it one more time. I believe many of the problems that we see in believers, especially new believers, would not exist if they followed the Lord immediately in water baptism after they believed the gospel. Now, why would I believe that? These next two passages do it for me. I'm getting close to closing. Maybe. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. I love this. Not only are the heavens open, there's a possibility of the heavens opening when we're baptized in water. There's something else too. It says, therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also, and this word is there, in this it says, should walk in newness of life. And you've heard me talk about this before, the added words to our English translations. And we have the phrase, should walk in newness of life after being baptized in water. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of God the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. And well, we should. Maybe we will. Maybe we won't. Who knows? It's a possibility. Except that word should is not in the original language. It's not there. The literal translation, and you know how much this, I mean, if there's, it used to be a lot of things that made me mad, and it can't really make me mad. Nobody can make me do anything. And, you know, we like to say, my wife makes me mad, my kids make me mad. Everybody makes me do something that ain't nobody can make you do nothing. That's entirely up to you. If you get mad, it's on you. It ain't on them. And to prove that nobody can make you do anything, I am making you right now empty your pockets, empty your wallets, empty your bank accounts, put them in these buckets. I'm making you do it. You ain't going to do it. Because nobody can make you do anything. But I'm going to tell you, this upsets me more than anything else I know. This is the watering down of the power of the gospel. We should walk in newness of life. After we're buried with him in baptism into death. That's what it says. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. That's what it says. We don't want to interpret the baptism scriptures literally. We want to interpret the rest of them literally, but we don't want to interpret that literally. And you say, well, it's not literal. Well, when God told Adam and Eve, he actually told Adam, he said, when you eat this fruit, you die. Did he die? Absolutely. Absolutely. And the death he died was worse than falling over and his heart stopping beating. You want to know why the world is acting like they're acting right now? I mean, have you seen what's going on in our cities? Mobs of people going into stores just stealing everything. And they're not even arresting them. There are people dying of drug overdoses in San Francisco every day. Over 800 people have died this year in San Francisco, one city. There will have been over 100,000 people died in America by drug overdose by the end of this year. Over 100,000 people. They don't know, see, oh my gosh, I didn't know I was going here. They say, there's a lot of people, they say they care about this, they care about that, they care about this, they care about humanity. They don't care about humanity. They won't even talk about that. They won't talk about the little children that are being... They don't care. The enviro-Nazis... They talk about how much they love the whales, except their environmental packages are killing whales. There's one group of whales. There's only about 300 in the world, and they've already killed a bunch of them with their things that they're doing to help the planet. And nobody will even report it. They're going to wipe them out. And they say that people like me is the one, I'm the problem because of my gas-guzzling V8 engine. I never killed no whales. I don't want to. I don't want to kill no elephant. I don't kill no giraffe. I don't kill no lion. If you do, that's you, between you and God. But I just can't think I would ever even, I would be hard-pressed to even talk to God after I killed something so amazing. What I kill, I eat. I like cows. They don't care about this stuff. It's all a farce. I've been telling you all forever, not forever, but for a while, that the media, they're liars. They are bold-faced liars. You got to stop believing them. They lie about everything. They water the gospel down with their interpretations, their translations. The translation should read, therefore we are buried with him, with Jesus. We're buried with Jesus in baptism. We are dead. Just like Adam became spiritually dead when he sinned against God, we become dead to sin when we are buried with Jesus in baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also walk in newness of life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm telling you, when I walked outside, the grass was greener, the sky was bluer. Everything changed that day. Does that mean God's not working on me? God has never stopped working on me. But I am nowhere near the man I was in March of 1993. And when we take you out there today and we put you in that water, you are buried with Christ in baptism. You are dead. You're dying, and I'm pulling you out of there, and you are going to walk in newness of life. Hallelujah. It says it twice. Colossians 2 and 12 said, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. You just got to believe when you come up out of there through the working of God, through the power of God, you are resurrected with Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm expecting the heaven to open up this afternoon. I'm expecting that we're going to have some men help us get them out of the creek. Hallelujah. I think people are going to have to be drug out today. Hallelujah. I think God is going to so touch people today. Oh, shomati kitia. Woo! We were raised with Christ through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Have we ever truly believed this stuff? Have we ever apprehended what I'm talking about by faith? My beloved sisters, my beloved brothers, when we put you under that water in a bit, we are burying you with Christ. You are dying with him. And by the power of God, by faith in the power of God, when we pull you back to the surface, you'll be coming out of the water a new man, a new woman, a new boy, a new girl. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm going to talk about one more thing. In Revelation chapter 2, because not only is water baptism critical for new believers, I believe it's also critical in another area. These are the words of Jesus. He said, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Now, you know if you're cold in your soul. You know if you're cold in your soul. You know if you're lukewarm. You know. I don't have to tell you. You know. If you're watching this via television and you could be here, I mean, you're like 8 blocks away and you just wanted to watch in your pajamas. You got to ask yourself, am I cold in my soul? And be honest. And if you can't be honest with yourself, ask God. I promise you, He'll be honest with you. You probably won't like what He says. But if you're cold in your soul, the Bible says you got to remember from where you're falling. You've got to repent and do the first works. The very first work that we do at salvation is water baptism. That's the very first thing that we do. I believe that's exactly what Jesus is talking about here. If you have grown cold in your love for Jesus, if you are not where you... I got to be careful with that because I'm not where I want to be. And that's one of the reasons I may get baptized again. Because I'm not where I want to be. I know what the Bible says about water baptism, and I don't see where God limits it to one time. I was a mess when I got saved. My Lord, I was a mess. And how can I say that? I was very messy. Now I'm just messy. There's still some mess that needs cleaned up. Now, Jesus himself said these words. He said, repent and do the first works. I believe this is David Hogan. I believe this is exactly what he's talking about. We get cold in our soul. We call it rededication, and I don't think that's wrong. Renewal. I think Christians need spiritual renewal. I believe that. It's one of the reasons. I'll say it one last time, and then I promise I shut up. It is one of the reasons that I have been baptized again and again and again. I want to be renewed. So I'm going to pray. If you are not a Christian, or if you are cold in your soul, you need renewed. I'm going to pray for you, but you need to believe. You need to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He is God. He became man. He lived a sinless life, and God punished sin on His sinless Son. 2 Corinthians 5:21, He who knew no sin was made sin, that we become the righteousness of God in Christ. Part of that process, part of the believing, is water baptism. And so if you believe that, there'll be time to get you some clothes. If you don't have an extra set of clothes, just get baptized in the ones you got. We're going to eat a hot dog. And then we're going to go to the lake. I don't want anybody going down hungry. Father, you're so good. I pray in the name of Jesus that there be people that are watching via technology, people in this room, that they are determining in their hearts that today is their day for spiritual renewal, for being born again, to be born again. God, they want to serve you with the same zeal and passion that they had the very day they got saved. And Lord, I pray that there's no one in here, that the fire is still burning as hot as it's ever burned in every believer in this room. But God, if there's anyone in here whose embers have begun to wane, I pray, God, that they would say, Father, light my fire again. Burn in me brighter than you ever have, Jesus. I believe you're worthy, Lord. And if there's anyone here that doesn't know Jesus, I pray, God, they'd believe the gospel today. And I pray that they would follow you in water baptism today. God, I thank you for these people. These are amazing people. I thank you for every one of them. Bless them, God. Bless this food we're about to eat. I thank you, Lord. I do, and I probably shouldn't, Lord, but I thank you for hot dogs. I thank you for chili. I like it. I thank you, Father. I'm not going to ask you to take out no calories. I don't believe in that. But I pray you'd help me to not eat more than I should. I bless you, Father. I bless you in Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. I don't know exactly how it works as far as the eating goes. You got it figured out, Kat? I mean, I don't know what we're doing. So it's ready to go? Okay. Well, there's the food's right back there. And if you need to go get some clothes, go get some clothes. If you're too far away to get clothes and you want to be baptized, just be baptized in what you are. I've got 3 towels. I'll give 2 of them.
Thank you for joining us today. We would so appreciate you praying about becoming a partner with us to help us spread the truth of God's word across the world. You can visit us on our website, lfwc.us, for more information. Thank you again, and may God bless you richly.